Thank you, Naomi, for being with us. That does it for the show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
So are many students, but there is something we can do. Register to vote for November's election. We will be heard. And don't forget that if you are registered but have moved,
so are many students, but there is something we can do. Register to vote for November's election. We will be heard. And don't forget that if you are registered but have moved, you should re-register at your new address. For more information, contact NYPIRG at 632-6457. That's 632-6457 and online at NYPIRG.org. That's NYPIRG.org.
I'm sorry, that was cut off, and it deserves to be heard in its entirety, as was intended by the artist.
Wondering why tuition has more than doubled since 1990? Angry at the lack of concern politicians have for youth issues? So are many students, but there is something we can do. Register to vote for November's election. We will be heard. And don't forget that if you are registered but have moved, you should re-register at your new address. For more information, contact NYPIRG at 632-6457. That's 632-6457 and online at NYPIRG.org. That's NYPIRG.org.
And don't forget to go to www.vote.org to see if you're registered or to register online or to change your address. But do it soon. The deadline is coming up in October. It's time now for Off the Wall. Well, a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes.
Wet enough for you?
Yeah, it's pretty sopping.
Oh, my God.
Sopping wet.
What happened? We're just driving over here peacefully, minding our own business, and the heavens opened up, and we had to practically swim here from the parking lot. It's almost like someone doesn't want us on the air, you know? Someone's trying to keep us from saying what we have to say, what needs to be said. But, you know what? We outsmarted you. We made it. We're here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just a sign that they're afraid.
They are afraid. Wait, so the Trump people are in charge of the rain now? They have that power?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
That's what you were insinuating,
well,
right?
I didn't know I was, but yeah, I guess I was going down that road.
All right, well, whatever. Dramatic effect felt.
We've walked to the show many times. I think that's the rainiest it's been walking to the show.
Yeah, it just seemed to continue and get more and more intense as we got closer to the studios.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, it's not raining inside the studios.
Not yet. Give us time. Well, now, the previous studios, we could say that. Squirrels, holes in the roof, all kinds of things. But this place, hopefully, will stand up better. I think it will. Hey, you know, there was a student takeover, which I always like to hear about, student takeovers. Actually, there's a student takeover of the radio waves, but I always like to hear that. The show before Democracy Now! Was just all full of all kinds of fun music and students and a million people. That's what radio is all about, I think. But in addition to that, while that was going on, there was more of a takeover because it was National Voter Registration Day. And we're talking about that. We were talking about it last week, it's going on all throughout the country. Sternberg University's Vote Everywhere celebrated National Voter Registration Day by taking over the campus with voter registration activities, which hopefully involved rain because there was plenty of that. Now, I didn't know about this because I've been asking about this, and no one else apparently knows about this because nobody told me. I'm reading it now in a press release, but in 2016, do you know 86%? Of registered Stony Brook students voted on Election Day. 86%.
Is that high or low?
That's high.
Okay.
That's high, you know? That's pretty good. That's yeah. I was afraid it's going to be something like 14%, you know, because students don't realize they can vote from campus. And it's easy. It's so easy to do that. You just register and change your address to vote. You don't have to change your driver's license address or, you know, where you do your taxes or anything else. But if you live on campus, you can use that as your address and vote on campus and vote for local representatives that represent the campus. It's really, really easy. But 86% voted in 2016. Hopefully that number or more will vote in 2018. Vote Everywhere is engaging thousands of students. They've been doing that all throughout the day. There are 12 different social and educational activities, including a blind ballot game, political duck races, prize giveaways, and free ice cream for the first 600 students who participated.
You know what else you get?
The satisfaction of knowing that you're going
to
vote?
You get to complain if things don't go your way.
You get to complain. That's right, because you're a voter.
That's right.
And maybe a taxpayer, too. Who knows?
If you don't vote, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, Kyle does not want to hear about it.
And I'm not alone.
And he's not alone. Other people around Kyle will not want to hear about it either. So
that's right.
If you're fixing to start telling Kyle what's wrong and you didn't vote.
No, you're not.
You're going to be disappointed.
That's right.
Anyway, Stony Brook University student leaders, faculty, and community partners came together to organize the various activities slated throughout the day. And I assume it went well because it just ended an hour ago and we were driving through a monsoon, so we didn't get to participate in that. But you know what? We're all registered to vote anyway, so it doesn't matter. We got to make sure you guys are taken care of. Now, National Voter Registration Day is a nationwide event, not just Stony Brook, although Stony Brook is probably leading the pack, if I do say so myself.
And they could outdo themselves from years past, maybe bump that up to 94 or
yeah,
or
maybe
higher.
86 is a low bar now.
Sure.
Move it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But this happened all throughout the country. It's still happening now. I imagine in Hawaii, they're just getting started. Everyone should be registered to vote ahead of the midterm elections, and there are more than 550 campus takeover events happening on nearly 500 campuses. That's just a little more than one per campus, though. We had 12 different events here, so we're way ahead. Anyway, hopefully that went well. Write to us, otw@2600.com, if you have a story as to what happened today during your voter registration activities. Hopefully you were a part of that. It's getting exciting. You know, it's only, what, 6 weeks away? But I'm sensing this palpable, you know, mood.
It's not going to be a boring midterm.
It's not. It is not going to be boring, no matter where you are. Even if you're in the middle of the country, you think everything's going to go predictably. Maybe it won't. Maybe it won't. And maybe it won't here as well, where sometimes things are predictable. I'm just sensing a lot of activity, a lot of emotion, a lot of passion.
And a lot less apathy.
A lot less, yes. And high time. You know, this is what we've been talking about over the last couple of years. If this is what it takes, you know, to get people involved, then maybe it's worth it. Maybe that is what we needed, a good kick in the ass. Because complacency is nobody's friend.
Honestly, we've been talking about this since we were in the other building.
We were talking about this since we were... I can't beat that. Yeah, I mean, since we were in the other building.
When
yeah.
you say that, I think... Oh, and my gosh, have we talked about this?
Till we're blue in the face and have to be resuscitated.
If you want
to
hear 3 years' worth of suggestions regarding
political... What was that
political...
for ahead of that? Yeah, okay. You know, suggestions.
It's an appreciable amount of time and, yeah.
Another one.
I'm just trying to make it clear.
Wow. Okay, all right, fine. Actually, you know what? Interesting. Speaking of elections and races, there's a local race going on, which we have some audio of, because that's going to get interesting as well. We've talked about this particular district many, many times over the years. It's the first district. Somehow we're the first district in New York, and right now it's being represented by a guy named Lee Zeldin, who's a Republican, and as far as I'm concerned, is the embodiment of Trump, if you could place Trump in Suffolk County.
He's a Trump fanboy.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's pathetic because all he does is parrot whatever Trump says, and Trump never says anything about him at all. If you look at their Twitter feeds, you see that Lee Zeldin is constantly appraising anything Trump says or does, and if you search every single tweet of Donald Trump, and I really don't suggest you do that if you have a weak stomach, you will never see a mention of Lee Zeldin. So it's kind of embarrassing for that reason alone. But when you think about the things that he's saying, it's all the worse. So, you know, obviously we've been taking an interest over the years in getting maybe something a bit more participatory, more representative, more of a back and forth. Because the other thing this guy does is never show up for town hall meetings, never have honest conversations with people who might disagree, people who might have something to contribute of a different nature. It's, you know, it's kind of like what Trump does. It's exactly what Trump does. It's probably a rule book of things Trump does, and people follow it. Trump never meets with people he disagrees with. You know, he just says ignorant things about them, but he never actually engages.
That's why he was caught off guard at the UN.
Exactly what I was thinking.
He was so used to it. And this was so funny to watch, but he basically laughed at himself getting laughed at.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. He got laughed. What did he say?
He tried to play it off, but he basically said that his administration had done more for the United States than any other administration in the history of this country.
And for a moment, I guess he forgot that he wasn't speaking to one of his rallies. He was speaking to world leaders from the rest of the world. And so there was, you know, it's hard to really describe. It wasn't, you know, slapping your knee, laughing, guffawing, all that kind of stuff. It was kind of like, I'm trying to hold it in, but I'm not able to. I'm only human. And you heard so many people trying to hold in the laughter, but the laughter was definitely there, and he certainly heard it. And, yeah, I think that is why Trump avoids anybody who might challenge him, because he's very quickly made a fool of.
Yeah, he definitely tried to play it off. But, I mean, there were individual shots of the countries. If you watched, C-SPAN, some of and it avoided the mainstream broadcasts, you would see angles or cuts to member states, in particular Germany, was laughing. I mean, they're just standing there. They're just sitting there.
The whole country was laughing?
No. The, like, five representatives there, like, when they were being chastised or whatnot in the course of his speech, they just were absolutely in stitches. I mean, you could tell that they think this is ridiculous. This guy is no leader.
He did play it off well, though. He said, I wasn't expecting that kind of a reaction, and, you know, the closest to laughing at himself. But he did break seven bones in his hand when he punched the wall afterwards, and that will take a while to heal. So if you see acting funny, that's probably the reason. But, yeah, that's the kind of thing that happens when you confront or not even confront, just say the things that you say in front of an approving crowd, in front of people who actually think it through. Because literally, when you go to a Trump rally and you're Trump, you can say anything. You can make fun of the people in the crowd. You can say, yes, we have better boats than all these other people that we're against. When you're in the middle of the damn country and nobody has a boat, and even if they were by the water, they probably couldn't afford boats.
Yeah, they immediately associate anything that he says with them, like that they're a part of that, even if they have no entry into the world he's speaking of. They somehow believe this kind of cliched thing of like, well, someday I could be part of the upper class and I aspire to that. If only I had less services and less taxes, I too could be the elite exploiting everyone else. And the sad truth is, it's just not in the cards for you.
Well, anyway, these kinds of things are being mirrored all throughout the country. There's all sorts of Trump imitators out there thinking they can play to the crowd, and nobody will challenge them. And in some cases, that might be true. It's kind of surprising, kind of scary in some ways to see how many people actually buy into this sort of thing.
And a lot of the Trump clones. That's my phrase now.
Trump clones.
Yeah. A lot of what they try to do is just ignore it completely because, as you said, like Zeldin doesn't want to actually be confronted. And Trump, of course, doesn't actually want to have critical analysis of their platform or what they say in any given moment. So a lot of the ads now, I think, from Zeldin seem to be real heavy on like the veterans and kind of patriotism, this kind of flimsy duty to reelect him or another candidate under the guise of this sort of false patriotism that Trump has kind of branded. And it's ironic considering the treason and other things that they're up against.
Yeah, it's basically, they're not going to discuss the issues. So it's basically, hi, I'm Lee Zeldin. American, I'm a veteran. Here's a tree. MS-13, illegal aliens, vote for me. And that's pretty much it,
Yeah.
No actual dialogue.
Yeah, that's right. He's a vet, so he's leaning hard on that.
There are lots of vets out there. Vets don't all think the same way.
No.
And it's easy to categorize both from the right and the left, but it's not fair.
It's that association thing again, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, well, he's a vet. Well, then there's something there. That kind of latent camaraderie or the insinuation of it. But it's pretty shallow. It's not there.
I've heard so many vets speak out in support of the football players who are taking a knee because what they're doing is expressing themselves and respecting the flag. I think that's not lost on people who actually think about it. Using that moment to reflect on how things can be better and things that need attention. And to simply say that this is an insult to all vets everywhere, that is an insult to all vets everywhere because you're speaking for an entire class of people and assuming they can't think for themselves or speak for themselves. How about we have a dialogue? How about we have a back and forth about this? And, I extend that invitation to anybody interested in doing that, whether it's our callers calling into the radio show, 632-WUSB, area code 631, whether it's the politicians themselves. They are invited to come to this station and express – they will be treated with respect. And I believe in dialogue. I believe in asking questions, not just labeling and condemning. Obviously, these aren't stupid people. These are people that have positions. But we need conversation back and forth. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on right now because I have some audio of a conversation. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound really, really that great, so we're only going to play a couple of minutes of it. But this was an excerpt from a Meet the Candidate night out in Mastic Beach. I don't know what it is, and I don't – please, I am not trying to label anybody here, but I just have noticed – that people in Manistic Beach tend to be angry a lot of the time. I get that just from reading the newspapers, because there's always, you know, fights or you know, various things going on out there, and a lot of civic meetings that aren't so civil. And the Democratic candidate for the congressional seat, Perry Gershon, went out there. And honestly, I don't know. Well, I guess I'm sort of contradicting myself. I'm saying I don't know why, because this is a hostile crowd. This is a hostile crowd that he is appearing in front of. And of course, I did just say we should have dialogue. So I guess that's what he's trying to do, is have the dialogue with these people out there. But man, it's I do not have that kind of patience, because it's just constant, I don't know, lack of acknowledgement of anything good people other than Trump have accomplished, and really offensive ways of referring to people. I cannot handle when people refer to human beings as illegals. It's bad enough, illegal immigrant, illegals. Like, basically, like they're some kind of monster from outer space. It just really, really bugs me. And, you know, it's an exercise you have to participate in when you realize, okay, these are people that ordinarily I might get along with in some other forum, that they're probably decent. They're probably, you know, not hateful, white nationalists or Nazis or things like that. Those people do exist. But these are people maybe like our own relatives who we, you know, might have some kind of conversation at Thanksgiving about, you know, about this kind of thing. It's hard to keep that in your mind, but, you know, you have to. You have to if you're going to get anywhere, because if you just condemn and walk away and ignore, you don't know what's going on. You don't see what's going on. And I think that emboldens people when they're ignored, when they're not taken seriously, not part of the conversation. Even if they're saying things that are laughable, that drive you crazy, you have to try. It's hard, but you have to try. Anyway, I'm just going to play a little bit of an excerpt here. This this is where one of the audience members stood up, an African-American woman who I believe went to Stony Brook, and was asking if the candidate had any plans for helping to alleviate the situation she found herself in now, where I presume she lives out in that area, which is a little bit out east from here. And as an African-American woman, she suddenly isn't feeling comfortable anymore. She doesn't know her neighbors. She doesn't feel like she's accepted, and it's scary. And the interesting thing about this is the response from the candidate, Perry Gershon, and also the response from the audience when he dares to criticize Donald Trump. Let's give a listen. And again, sorry for the audio.
My name is Erica. I grew up in Nashville, so I live in Hawaii. Went to Lakewood High School. I'm a master's here, and I'm a master's Stony Brook this year in September. And I was just wondering what you were going to do about the way everyone's sort of acting towards each other. Like I said, I grew up here, and this is the first time in my whole life I'm here. This is the first time that I feel like I don't know my neighbors, I don't know how everyone's going to react to me. I've never felt the sort of tension and the sort of like racial tension the way I do now. And I love living here. This is, like I said, I grew up here, I live a couple blocks away. And I'm from a working class family, my dad just retired from Stony Brook himself. My mom's a nurse. We work hard, we mind our business, and for the first time I feel like nervous to be a part of this community. So I was just wondering if I could find on something like in the district to sort of feel better.
We need a culture of healing. I agree with you. I feel it. That's what's motivating me to run for office. That is my biggest concern with the president, because he's setting the wrong example. When the people marched in Charlottesville a little more than a year ago, he said they're both sides were okay. He didn't condemn what
wall. He never said that. No. I'm sorry, you gotta say it.
Okay, make the title to your review.
Okay.
Okay,
wait,
hold on.
Moment.
I feel very scared.
Okay, so we're not. Trump is not here in front of you.
The president.
Hold it, miss. I'm going to ask you to leave if you continue to interrupt. Listen, what I need here is this. We understand that there are other issues in our administration. He's running for Congress. I'd like to hear what his views are on the issues. We haven't even gotten to immigration yet. So can you stay with the issues, please? Thank you.
But Frank,
stay with the issues, please. Stay with the issues.
Stop bashing the other side. Tell us what you're
okay.
going to do for
okay. The first
young lady that got up, she okay. was very polite. She didn't talk about her competitors or anything. She okay. said her piece and that's it.
Okay, so the bonus, Perry, the bonus has spoken. They don't like you beating up on Trump. So just deal with the issues, please. Thank you.
Because we can beat up on you.
The issues, thank you.
The question was, what are we going to do to make people feel more comfortable in this country? And the answer is we need to speak up against white nationalism, against demonstrations of hate, whether it comes from a president, whether it comes from a congressman, whether it comes from an individual. The country has an obligation to find a way to lower the tension and to get around the hate. Heal, bring people together.
Wow. And that was an excerpt from a Meet the Candidate night out in Manistic Beach at the Pattersquash Creek Civic Association. That was candidate Perry Gershon speaking to what I can only describe as a combative audience. It was really only about 24 senior citizens hosted by the Manistic Beach Fire Department. And that was, I believe it was one of the board members warning somebody to stop interrupting or she'd be kicked out. That was not Perry Gershon saying that. But it was interesting to see that this is what you are met with when you explain your position. And, of course, Donald Trump did basically praise people from both sides in Charlottesville. And, you know, we've been talking about that ever since. It's a big deal.
Do you hear the racket, like the fact that it's framed that Trump's the victim.
Yeah.
He's being beat up
Don't
on.
Don't bash Trump.
Don't beat up on poor Trump.
And did they do that with Obama, I wonder? and the other thing, you know, there's a lot more of this. It's really fascinating to see these things or to attend these things. People are praising the economy. The economy's never been better, you know, et cetera. First of all, that's debatable, and it's something that you know is a lot of smoke and mirrors. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not an economist, but I do know one thing: you don't build an economy in less than 2 years. It's based on all kinds of other things that have preceded it. No credit whatsoever is given to Obama. No credit due to him, but every credit goes to Donald Trump for performing this this magical feat. Obviously, that is not something that is sustainable as far as facts. But that is the kind of audience you are met with in situations like this. And again, you know, I was wondering why appear before such a hostile crowd? But then I realized that's part of the job. That's what Lee Zeldin is not doing. He's not meeting with the people who would debate him in that manner. And that is an essential part, I think, from the national level all the way down to the local level. And we have to insist that that happens, regardless of who is representing us. We have to insist that they listen and speak to the people. And sometimes it will be laughable. Sometimes it'll be educational. But in the weeks we have left, no matter where you happen to be in the country, make sure that that is what the candidates are doing. And if they're not, make sure it's known that they're not doing that. I want to look at, since it was brought up with white nationalist activities. First of all, okay, you can't say in front of a pro-Trump crowd that Trump is at fault for saying racist things, even if he says racist things. But you can say that racists are bad, like Perry Gershon just did now. We must fight white nationalism. We must fight racism, whether it's – he did it in a kind of a clever way. He didn't say Trump's name. He said we must fight racism, whether it's the president or, you know, a representative or an individual. And that is certainly true. You can't argue with that. But you notice nobody applauded either, which was kind of sad. But in looking at our representative, and he is our representative, there's no way to get around that, Lee Zeldin's Twitter page, the current U.S. House representative of the 1st District in New York, this is what happened when Charlottesville is taking place. This is the first tweet from him. Away at Army Reserve duty at moment. Okay, you got to get that out there so people know you're a patriot. But watching Charlottesville closely. So much hatred. Disgusting to witness. This isn't how to disagree. Disagree. A neo-Nazi march. And it's like a debate. Yeah, that is something that really would bother you right away, I would think. And then shortly afterwards, followed by another tweet, there must be zero tolerance whatsoever for the extremes that attempt to tear us all apart. Hashtag Charlottesville. Okay, that's nice, but I'm not seeing any condemnation of white supremacy, nationalism, Nazis, any of that kind of thing. I'm just seeing zero tolerance for extremes. Kind of parroting what Trump said about, well, there's decent people on both sides, but, you know, the alt-right, and there's also an alt-left, et cetera, just trying to equate the two sides. It's a false equivalency.
But he's got the hashtag down.
He's got the hashtag down. He has mastered Twitter, I'll say that. okay, so then we move forward an hour or so more, I believe.
Where is he going, I wonder?
not very far, I'll tell you that. Differences will exist, and it is okay to disagree, but the violence in Charlottesville today is absolutely not the right way to disagree. Okay, sounds like a third grader wrote that, but regardless. Yeah, again, Lee, you're not getting it. It's not about disagreement. It's about hatred. It's about people who are violent. And yeah, you can point to people who are violent from any sphere. I know that. But Nazis, for God's sake, man, Nazis. They got a history. All right, you know, who are you afraid of by speaking up for this?
Were there, like, people there that were on the fence? I mean, was that, like, you know, people who were kind of Nazi questioning and they were there to kind of open their mind to it?
You mean Nazi curious? Is
yeah.
that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. I just know that, you know, we have to stand up against anything related to Nazism whenever it rears its ugly head. All right? And, you know, it doesn't mean you just call anybody you disagree with a Nazi. No. These people were Nazis. They were doing the salute. They were saying Jews will not replace us. For God's sake, what more do you need?
Yeah, they're, in other words, unified there. I mean, it was not a spectrum of people. People kind of unsure, not really, didn't really know, couldn't light their tiki torch.
I would not call anybody who was at that that Civic Association meeting that we just played an excerpt from. I would not call any of them Nazis, white nationalists, anything like that.
Nazi sympathizers.
No, I would not say that.
Right.
You know, that conversation, although I had problems with a lot of maybe the phrasing and the tone, they're still decent people. That's our neighbors. Those are, you know, our relatives, our friends even. These are not those people. When people are doing something hateful like that, you know, it's very, very different. And I would hope those people in Mastic Beach know that and recognize the difference. Anyway, more tweets, because I just want to get through them all.
Yes.
There aren't very many. There aren't very many tweets from Lee Zeldin about Charlottesville. There are no tweets about neo-Nazis or Nazis in general. Well, violent acts in Charlottesville, Virginia, hashtag Virginia, are disgusting, un-American, and unwelcome in our great nation. Okay, you know, you basically just keep saying the same thing, but never actually pointing the finger at the culprit.
And that's probably his only hashtag Virginia tweet.
Might be.
How
might
much does he hashtag Virginia?
Here's another one. From that evening, August 12th, 2017, for any of the Charlottesville protesters on either side, again, here we go. This is exactly, almost exactly what Trump said. For any of the Charlottesville protesters on either side with extremist views and violent purposes, you are 100% completely in the wrong. Well, I'll tell you something. A lot of us have relatives that went and fought in World War II, and they were pretty violent when they were fighting the Nazis. So you're going to tell us they had extremist views, they were violent, they were wrong? I don't think so. And talk about insulting vets everywhere. I'll let the vets speak for themselves, but you know, you can't stand up and accuse people who take a knee during the national anthem and are silent and retrospective of base. I'm hearing EAS.
That's
tones.
EAS.
Yes. Is that coming from a phone or from the?
I think it's a phone.
Well, it's not my phone.
It's my phone.
Your phone is sending an EAS alert now? Wow. Throw your phone out the window. I don't think we can even make that tone over the air.
I'm sorry.
Is there a missing child or something? Or?
It's
Kyle's about to tell us what's... what. Don't tell me. It's going to rain. I know it's going to rain.
A flash flood
okay.
in this area.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
Severe threat.
Weather gods. Mm-hmm. Throwing me off my train of thought here. Yeah, so, you know, when you actually are fighting these people... you know, you can be considered violent and extremist. And what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the people who take knees are being contemplative and thinking about what they're, you know, how they want to improve the country and what is wrong today. And that is something that I think should be respected and even admired. And yet our elected representative can go and basically equate Nazis with anti-Nazi demonstrators, and we're all supposed to just think that's okay. Okay, let's finish a couple more here. Quite candidly, every day should be the perfect day to be an American first. United, hashtag Charlottesville. I don't even know what that one means. But here's the last one. Sending love from the over 700,000 residents of NY1. That's us, not the TV station. We're New York First Assembly District. I don't understand districts. I don't understand how it works. Congressional district. Assembly district is different. Why they can't just go with the borders of the towns and counties, I don't know. But sending love from the over 700,000 residents of NY1 to the great patriots past and present in VA5, which is the 5th district in Virginia, I guess. Hashtag Charlottesville. YouTube.com. I'm not sure what he's linking to there. I can't click on it.
So boring.
But yeah, the you know, if you really want to get a taste as to how tone deaf this guy is, read the responses, the immediate responses, because they tend to be right on target. For instance, the first person said, her name was Heather Heyer. She was murdered by a radical white domestic terrorist. Say it, Lee. Condemn Nazis, the KKK, and white supremacists. And that's really it. That's everything right there. Had he done that? Had he just condemned those people that are clearly responsible, that have taken responsibility, we wouldn't be having any of this conversation right now. And who would have taken offense at that? You know, white nationalists? How much of a voter base is that? I hope not very big around here. So, again, you know, Lee Zeldin, you're invited up to maybe belatedly condemn Nazis or defend whatever positions. And not just on this show. I'm sure on many shows here on WUSB and the media in general.
Yeah, we'll polish up some softballs for you.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll be fair and okay, open up to the listeners.
Hard balls, too.
Yeah, and again, you know, hold us up to scrutiny as well. If listeners want to hammer us with questions and tear our opinions apart, that's fine, too. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We can take calls if people want to call in. But a couple other things. Let's see. We talked about, speaking of things going on in the area, remember the Port Jeff Library was hosting Long Island's first kids drag queen story hour. We talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Kids age 4 to 8. That took place on Saturday. That happened on Saturday.
Very cool.
Drag queen story hour draws protesters in Port Jefferson.
What?
Yeah, protesters showed up. How about that? People lined up outside the Port Jefferson Library Saturday to protest an event designed to teach children about diversity through literature. Drag queen story hour, organized by Harmonica Sunbeam, aims to help students learn about love, acceptance, and tolerance. Sunbeam read to children aged 4 to 8, made a craft with them, and took photos. Parents who brought their children to the event say it was about inclusion and celebrating diversity. It'll teach them that they can be who they want to be. They can be different. A little bit of glitter never hurt anyone. Thank you, Dwayne Morgan, for that. For those wise words. Others outside the library, though, said it was inappropriate for young children to be exposed to drag queens. I don't think we should push this ideology and statements to a 4-year-old, said Pastor Julio Carrion of Port Jefferson. Yeah, the pastor showed up. But if they want to continue the conversation with an adult, I'm here now. Yeah, I'm sure that's what they want, Julio. They want to go out there and talk to you about your religious views, which have absolutely nothing to do with what the event was about. You know? Maybe you should listen and learn.
Yeah, it was about inclusion and diversity. It wasn't like sex ed. And we know that's not a real draw, not for this particular administration. I'm sure Betsy DeVos isn't exactly innovating with those lesson plans.
Well, and despite the sorry.
No, my other attitude is if it was about that, I'd say, you know, maybe there are some other ideas that young people need to hear because parents aren't always the best at talking about that kind of stuff. But that wasn't the thing in the first place. The thing was, hey, these are humans. There are other humans that aren't like your parents and like your family and like your friends and pastors. There are other pastors, you know? And
what do the pastors even have to do with it? For God's sake, it was Saturday. Just stay home and watch football or something and do your thing on Sunday. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be nasty, but I mean, it upsets me because it takes a lot to put something like this together and to have people show up, especially when you know what you shouldn't expose 4 to 8 year olds to is an angry mob outside. That's something that I think would traumatize them a lot more than somebody dressed up in glitter, you know? I bet they laughed a lot while they were inside. Despite the protest, children who took part in the event seemed to enjoy it. 8-year-old Rachel said, I think it's pretty cool. And library officials say they consider the first event a success and plan on having more of the Drag Queen Story Hour in the future, and hopefully more libraries will do that as well. Keep in mind, you know, this for those parents outraged that children are being exposed to this kind of thing, first of all, it's not like drag queens came to the school and took over a class. These are parents who took their kids voluntarily to this very event, all right? You're the ones that were not invited, the protesters, the people that are trying to scare people and condemn. That you know, it's got nothing to do with that. So why not just let them do what they want to do? And we can have the conversation about drag queens in society and whatever else is bothering you at the moment, but let's leave the toddlers out of it because they just want to have fun.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's kind of the argument is, you know, parents know best for their children. Parents have to do this. Parents have to decide that. The state should stay out of this. The school should stay out of that. Well, that's what these parents did.
it was a library having an event. It's pretty awesome. So if they need security next time, let's give us a call. We'll be there.
Mm-hmm. We have, like, lots of glitter.
You know what really bugged me, though? That story appeared on News 12, news12.com, the Long Island edition of that. And, you know, Newsday stopped having comments on their stories because they just got so incredibly hateful and ignorant. Well, News 12 is running a close second because they still have comments. And I got to tell you, some of the comments there were just so filled with utter hatred, ignorance, fear of all sorts, and against what exactly, you know, thinking that somehow children are going to be traumatized for the rest of their lives by meeting a drag queen or by realizing that life is more than just what they learn in the confines of their own house. It made me shudder to think that we're still dealing with this. These are still the ideas that are being floated around, and there are kids everywhere that are trapped in those worlds, and I feel really sorry for them.
I'm not sure what the numbers are exactly right now, but I think it's 2 in 10.
2 in 10 what?
2 in 10 kids will be queer.
Okay.
I think maybe 3 in 10 you know, could be increasing. But yeah, I mean, face that. That's real. That is real reality that you may not have to deal with. But others do.
Yeah,
and,
why is it dealing with? Why isn't it just this is who we are? We're proud of who we are. You know, we support who other people are. Why are we still having this conversation? You know, we're talking about skin color. We're talking about religion, where people are from, sexuality. I mean, we should be exploring the damn stars already. I want to move past this. I'm just really impatient.
Yeah, I think also, you know, there's enough support for straight lifestyles and family.
No. The straight people, straight white males, are the most recent put upon.
No, it's not true.
Well, you wouldn't think by listening to what people are saying.
No, it is the dominant culture. It's hegemony, and everyone else lives at the effect of it.
You see, here's the thing, and I have this conversation quite a bit with people who seem to think that they're the victims now. They grow up in a better house. They go to a better school. They tend to get better jobs. They make a lot more money. But if they lose one thing to somebody with a different skin color or a different background, they're the ones that are oppressed. They're the ones that are put upon. You have law enforcement that will back you up. Okay, if you're accusing a black person of something and they're debating it with you, who's the cop going to believe? Who's the cop going to shoot first? You know, the schools, the law enforcement, the government, it's all designed for you. And you may not have asked for that. You may not have voted for that. But that is a fact. That is how it is right now. You have no conception of what it's like to live in that other world. So, yeah, you might lose occasionally. You might not always get what you want. But it is not the same thing. And it really bugs me to hear people say that.
And, I mean, look at all the tax breaks for having kids. How many miserable people just have kids so they can save money on taxes?
Let's take a phone call, see who's out there. Hey, good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's everybody?
Are you driving?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm not. I'm sitting still. I'm in my driveway.
Okay, is it still pouring rain out there?
It just started. I'm in Quorum, and it just started about 5 minutes ago, actually, when it came down really, really hard.
Wow, okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
Real quick, I know it's sort of kind of not related, but I wanted to ask. I know you guys do an awful lot of traveling. And the thing of it is, I'm going away next month to Europe, and I'm curious, do you happen to know of a reputable company where I could buy a SIM card there and use my Verizon phone in Europe? I'm assuming maybe just get a Vodafone SIM card and call it a day.
Yeah, the big companies are your best bet. If you find out the like carriers, whatever main place you're going to land first. Because it's about time. So, you know, as soon as you're in some place, you're going to want communications capabilities. So I would go with the top carriers in that area. But also look into some of the smaller carriers, some of the carriers that cover all of Europe. I think a company we've used and bought SIMs from with success before is Leica Mobile. There's a bunch of them. There's a whole cottage industry.
It's Lyka or something?
Lyca.
Lyca.
But there's a whole bunch of third-party SIM vendors. Then they have kind of a lot of hoops sometimes. You got to be careful with how you top it up. But, of course, there are countries like I know in Berlin you can actually top up in the U-Bahn station, like through the same machine you would get a ticket. So there's some nuances to it. Sometimes it's you you have to text a certain number, or you top up at a post office or some other place. There's rules and things you have to kind of research. But if it's a main carrier like Voda or Telecom, which is Telecom is the sort of T-Mobile in Europe, any of those providers, you could just go to their cell phone store and say, "Hey, I'm traveling. I would like to get a prepaid SIM. I want to go to these countries, da 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 da." But they're going to be more country specific. If you're going to a bunch of different places, those third party ones are pretty good. I think Brown is another one.
But you're definitely doing the intelligent thing by looking into this now, so that you don't get surprised with a $10,000 phone bill when you get home. So having that, doing that research and experimenting a little bit, trying different companies out and seeing what happens, that's how you learn. That's how you were able to share that experience with others.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, like I said, I got another month and change, and I'm going to be touching down in Stuttgart, and then I'm going to do as much of Germany as I can, all through the UK. I'm going to try going to places I've never been before. Like, I've never been to Denmark.
Oh, wow.
That's supposed to be a lot of fun.
Well, I recommend if you go to Denmark, try to get the train that goes from Hamburg to Copenhagen by boat. There's two routes, but one train actually goes on the boat, and it's the coolest thing. The train drives onto the boat goes across the water, and then the train drives off the boat.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically two sets of tracks on essentially a ferry, and they're on the inside lane of the ferry, because obviously a heavy train on one or the other side of the ferry would make it have kind of a wicked lean.
Well, there's two trains. One
yeah,
train going
so
each direction.
You'd have one in each direction, and they basically put it right over the keel, these tracks, on the ferry platform, and they sit on either side, so the train sort of first on, and then they load all the cars. The train stops. Everybody on the train can kind of get off and go up to, you know, buy some coffee or whatever in the ferry as they're going across. And then you hear the call to get back in your car. But instead of your, you know, car or van, you get on to the train that you were on. And then that train is the first off. And they leave through the center of the boat, as I said, to prevent it from tipping and all that. So.
All right. Well,
that actually sounds really cool. I appreciate your help.
No problem. And let us know how it goes over there. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun.
I will do just that. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care.
Have fun.
All right. Bye.
Wow. I envy him because we've done all that, but it just is so much fun. It really is. And it doesn't have to be expensive if you're smart. Like, he's being smart with the phone thing. There are ways to stay in cheap places. Remember, when you're on an overnight train, you have a room for the night, you know, you have a bed for the night. There's all kinds of ways you can save and see all sorts of things, and you meet people everywhere.
It's not a bad idea to collect SIMs when you're over there, too.
No.
Grab a couple, you know, try some different plans, you know, and get a good sense of it. And then write an article for the magazine. Anyway.
Yeah, do that. And write to us, OTW@2600.com.
Tell us how your trip goes.
There's a couple of, speaking of things that are going on, and I'd like that we can veer off topic and steer the ship back. But we're talking about things that are going on that involve people and voting and other things like that. And one of the issues that has come up over the last couple of years is recreational marijuana. And that is something that due to... Governor Cuomo's evolving views on the subject may very well be something that we have here in this state next year. That's the hope, anyway. Now, we talked about this before, that there's a listening session that will be taking place at Hofstra University. That is going to be happening on Thursday, this Thursday coming up. Hofstra University's student amphitheater in Hempstead. And it runs from 6 to 8 p.m. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Now, because there has been so much demand, they've added another one. And that one will be taking place in Suffolk County, right here in our own county, in Ronkonkoma at the Clarion Conference Center at 3845 Veterans Memorial Highway. That's on October 16th, also from 6 to 8 p.m. Unfortunately, that's a Tuesday night, so we're on the air right when this is happening. So we can't go to that one, but you can. You can listen to us maybe for the first half. No, go the whole thing and listen to us later. We're on the internet, so you can do that. As we begin the process of creating a model regulated marijuana program, it's critical that we reach communities across the state in order to hear what New Yorkers have to say, said Andrew Cuomo. By adding two additional listening sessions to our schedule, they added one in Westchester as well, we can ensure that all New Yorkers who wish to have their voice heard have the opportunity to do so. So if you have opinions on this, speak up and express them. Do some research. Learn about it. See how it's doing in other states.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I could talk at great length about this particular issue. And I think... you know, my experience with cannabis in Washington State is gives me a lot of different ideas of what New York is going to have to face. But my short answer is this is incredibly exciting for New York State because it recognizes something that goes on everywhere. And, you know, it also is very closely tied to policing in Manhattan and in all the boroughs. I think making marijuana a lower criminal priority and looking at the advantages and possibilities of taxing it as a recreational substance for adults over 21 and just having a different perspective on it instead of trying to collect that money through the justice system and basically criminalizing people, getting that money at the register when people are buying it. And I think it's don't slow down. I'd said go slowly, but I meant that before in making a plan. And I think there is just so much just on the recreational side that is really exciting as far as innovation goes, as far as kind of bridging the connection between recreational, nutritional, and medicinal benefits of this incredible crop and incredibly diverse crop. And I think New York has the industrial sense, but it also has an incredible agrarian history. And agriculture out here is profound and really, I could see so much for this state. And I know there's a particular strain, New York City diesel, NYC diesel. And from the fuel perspective, I see the possibility for New York City actually making diesel out of a feedstock like this in the realm of industrial production. So there are a myriad of uses for the plant, and it is just incredibly exciting to see New York State move forward and create a comprehensive plan and really tie together all of the things we're learning about CBD, about different kinds of manufacturing, bioplastics, composites, concretes, fabrics, just all of that kind of really good stuff that we're denying ourselves by being primarily a petroleum and cotton and sort of entrenched in other sorts of materials, when this thing could create those kinds of things, create jobs, and also be a massive carbon sink. And if you've studied climate change at all, you might realize that we all need to be growing this everywhere as much as possible and as fast as possible.
And, you know, there's so much to dive into with this particular subject. What they'll be talking about Thursday at Hofstra is recreational marijuana and the advantages and or disadvantages of legalizing pot. And that will be taking place Hofstra University Student Amphitheater in Hempstead this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. And again, October 16th, which is Tuesday, there'll be one in Suffolk in Ronkonkoma at the Clarion Conference Center. So be sure to go to one of those, express your opinion if you have an opinion. But speaking about all kinds of environmental issues, this is an interesting story that I just saw very recently. It's been 2 weeks since Hurricane Florence hit North and South Carolina, and thousands of residents who get power from coal-fired utilities remain without electricity. In fact, one of the rivers overflowed and coal was dumped into it. All kinds of horrible things are happening. But solar installations, which so far provide less than 5% of North Carolina's energy, were up and running the day after the storm. Yeah, half of Duke Energy's customers were without power at some point, but according to Clean Technica, the utility's solar farms sustained no damage. Traditional energy providers have fared less well. The dam breach I was referring to at the L.V. Sutton Power Station, a retired coal-fired power plant near Wilmington, North Carolina, sent coal ash flowing into a nearby river. Another plant near Goldsboro has three flooded ash basins, according to the Associated Press, while in South Carolina, floodwaters are reportedly threatening pits that contain ash and industrial waste from burning coal. The lesson, according to environmentalists, utilities' vulnerability to major storms underscores the urgency of shifting to energy that is not only clean and renewable, but also more resilient. So that's a lesson to be learned. And the way things are right now, we're not going to learn that lesson because they're just going to double down and continue fighting nature, thinking they're going to win. But this is evidence right here that it doesn't have to be that way.
I mean, good on Duke for having any solar at all, but I mean they're a real bunch of sweethearts.
Well, 5%. Come on, you can do better than that.
They're not so great. You can look up Duke.
It annoys me. You know, we have solar farms out east on Long Island, and you know, people object to them. They say, "Oh, they're unsightly." You guys, you were accepting a nuclear power plant not too long ago that could have killed us all, and because it reduced your taxes by a few dollars, that was okay. And now you're talking about unsightly. I don't think they're unsightly. And wind turbines, I don't think they're unsightly at all. I'd like to see one of those out my window. So that is that's the kind of thing that's going on. We're almost out of time. Finn is a little bit late, so we have a couple of extra minutes to wrap things up here. I want to mention what happened to us after the show last week. My God. Well, first of all, before the show, we were able to cover this up rather well because it was emotionally taxing on us, but it was something that was certainly bothering us. Our television set broke. The big screen TV broke, and we You know, after 6 years, I think it just went kaput.
Well, it had not had the appropriate protection, and I believe it got surged upon.
Florence came through here.
Yes.
It was a tropical depression, but the only ones depressed were us because our TV, I guess, got surged. And
I'm going to order the board, and I'm going to replace it. I'm going to fix it.
Okay, good for you. Good
but
for
on
you.
My own terms.
Yeah, because we tried to get it, you know, we tried to look into what it would cost to fix it, and we couldn't even get somebody to talk to us. We had an appointment to talk to somebody, you know, 2 days. And, you know, we're not going to wait 2 days just to talk to somebody. So we went out after the show, and we got another TV set and basically stuck it in the backseat of the car, you know, big, massive, huge TV set to replace the other big, massive, huge TV set. And then, you know, because Maker Faire, which we'll talk about tomorrow on Off the Hook, that was this weekend that just passed by. We had to get our gigantic 1950s phone booth into our 2600 van, the old phone company van. I don't know if you ever picked up a phone booth from the 1950s that has, you know, it's made out of wood and it's got a payphone. The payphone itself is heavy, but man, that payphone booth is heavy. And I believe we only had the two of us. In fact, I'm pretty certain there was only two of us who got it into the van with a series of contraptions to make it easier. But it still was heavy as hell. We managed to get it into the van. But then after we we got into the van and put the van away in our facility and then attempted to return with our giant TV set. And that's when about maybe a half mile, three quarters of a mile away, the car suddenly broke down, just for no reason at all, decided to break down. So you walked all the way back to get the van, and the van wouldn't start because it was raining, and apparently the van doesn't like to start in the rain. It started the first time because it was in a garage, but then after it went outside for a little bit, it somehow got finicky and wouldn't start. So now we had a situation where we had a car parked three quarters of a mile away on this country road with a gigantic TV set in the back, you know, with a big advertising cardboard box that said new TV set. And we had a van that wouldn't start three quarters of a mile away. And we had to sort of figure out what to do. And the van had a phone booth in the back of it, so that didn't make it any easier.
Basically, everything broke at once.
Everything broke at once. They both vehicles broke at the same time within a few feet of each other. So we thought something might be in the air. Something was, you know, it might be the CIA or who knows what.
Alex Jones.
We were texting people, but we couldn't get cell phone service, and people didn't get our messages till the next day. It worked out eventually, obviously. But wow, when things go wrong, they go wrong really bad sometimes.
I was even at one point going to tow the car somehow with
yes.
the van, but I got all the way out and started digging through the car, and the tow eye, if anybody doesn't know what a tow eye is, it's this little round metal thing that threads into your car. If you have a plastic bumper, right, there's no place to really tow from, so you have like a little plastic thing you remove, and there's like a little threaded a tapped part of your frame where this tow eye threads into. Well, we didn't have that, so there was no way we were going to tow it.
Yeah, well, we thought we had it, and when you were going to come by with the van, that was you know, that was the plan. But then you didn't show up. I was sitting in the van for a good 40 minutes waiting for you to show up, and I realized, you know what? I don't know where Kyle is. I'm going to go and look for him. But I, you know, it was so dark, so incredibly dark, you couldn't see anything, and I was afraid there were wolves out there. I had to actually use whatever cell phone service I could get to download a flashlight app to put on my phone so I could walk down this road. It took a while, but I did it.
That's not funny. That's pathetic.
Well, it is pathetic, but I did it, and I got there, you know, and we were able to figure things out. And eventually, it took a while, but we got the TV back and installed it, and that is when it really got bad because apparently the new Netflix app on the TV sets, they don't show you full credits at the end, and that really upset me a lot. You know, I hate that. When you watch a program, you want to see the credits at the end, not in a little tiny box with an ad for the next show. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You can't get past it, and nobody cares. I'm the only one that cares about it.
Yeah, next week will be really relatable with our stories about our Maseratis breaking down and everything.
Oh, so Netflix is equivalent to Maseratis.
We're so relatable right now.
Uh-huh.
All right, is he here yet?
I don't know.
Finn's
he
pulling
said
up.
He said to continue until he shows
no,
up.
No, he's bringing his canoe.
I see somebody waving, but I don't know if that's Finn.
Is
it
that
could
an
be anybody
oar?
In there. Is that Finn? I guess it's Finn.
I've never seen Finn wear waders before.
Why didn't he turn the light on and wave? I could have seen who he was then. Okay, well, I think Finn is here. If not, somebody who knows how to wave is here. And you know what? That's good enough to get on the air. That's going to do it for us here tonight. Thank you, people, for listening. Thank you, people, for calling. And please write to us, otw@2600.com. We would love to hear from you. And we'll be back again next week with another exciting show. Good night.
When you woke up this morning, did you feel all alone? Did you get a grip on yourself? Were you just flesh and bone? Did you long for the centerfold spread of some bimbo girl magazine to appear by your side and physically question your manhood and make you come clean? Hey! Hey, mister! This morning, did you feel like hell? Did you think that some Jehovah's Witness was a ringing your bell? Did you think you were in Babylon? Did you take a good look around? Or did you stick your head out the window and find you could not make a sound? Up and go. Did you take a good look at yourself in the mirror and go on with the show? Did you picture yourself